This is Agriculture Today.
And I want to start this hearing with a proposition.
Representative G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, he's the ranking member of the House Ag Committee.
I think we should underpin our discussion today. Access to affordable energy is access to freedom, both political and economic. One need look no further than the nations of Europe who are shackled to Russian energy and Putin's pipelines. Without sufficient energy resources of their own, they have lost the freedom to dictate their own foreign policy. Despite our common democratic values, they are forced to pour money into Russia to protect their citizens from devastating costs of losing access to affordable, reliable energy. This is what an all-the-above energy plan is about. It's about making sure everyone in America who needs energy has access to reliable energy when they need it. Rural communities are no different. Rural electrification in the 1930s, 1940s brought new jobs, new technology, and new opportunities to millions of people. And today, as we continue to build and improve our nation's electric grid, expand access to energy, and deploy smart, renewable resources on farms and in communities, the USDA energy programs continue to bring new opportunities and economic growth to rural America. But the expansion of new sources of renewable energy, ethanol, solar, wind, biogas, and more, cannot be done at the cost of every traditional source of power. We simply do not have the capacity to replace the energy from fossil fuels overnight. When expanding our production of renewable energy, we must ensure sufficient energy resources exist and remain to power the baseload needs of our nation and our economy. But we don't need to look to Europe to see the damage insufficient energy resources can do. We've seen it firsthand right here in our own country. At best, limited access to energy resources means increased energy prices, increased prices for those with too little to sacrifice their other needs so they can devote an ever larger share of their income to procuring the electricity and the fuel that powers modern life. At worst, limited access to energy resources means arbitrary and indiscriminate energy rationing like the gas lines of the 1970s or the rolling blackouts of a California summer. These are arbitrary, man-made crises, and the predictable outcome of policies grounded in wishful thinking and nativity. These are experiences we should carefully consider before we commit the United States to a policy of slow energy asphyxiation.
Thompson from Pennsylvania, and his neighbor is John Joyce, also a representative from Pennsylvania on the floor of the House.
Right now, our farmers are facing so many difficult challenges. The cost to run a farm is estimated to grow by nearly 7% next year. And to make matters even worse, the cost of fertilizer has already risen by over 50% in the past 12 months. And now the Biden administration is preparing to implement new taxes on fertilizer imports from overseas. Now is not the time to tax our farmers even more. President Biden cannot use our growers and producers to pay for his out-of-control budget. We need to ensure that our farmers have the resources that they need to continue producing the food that each of us rely on every day. We need to make sure that they have the fertilizers, the grain, the seeds that it takes to work a farm, to tend an orchard. American farmers feed the world. It's time to stop imposing new and crippling taxes on our hardworking farmers. It's time to let them get back to work and feeding all of us.
It's Agriculture Today.
Like West Texas weather, times can change in an instant, but one thing remains the same. Agriculture will continue to be an indispensable part of our daily lives. South Plains Implement has been your deeply rooted and stable provider of John Deere equipment, parts, and service throughout West Texas and New Mexico for the past 40 years, and we aren't going anywhere. To become a member of our team, visit our careers page, southplainsimplement.com. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I hear often how, oh, the elevators are probably happy. The market's dropping. They're getting grain cheaper. It's not how they operate. They don't care about the market going up or down. They care about whether or not the basis gets better after they buy it, which you should care about too. And they care about the spreads and what month they're in and moving them back and forth and that stuff. That's how they make a living. That's it.
Dave Fogle is a broker with Advanced Trading, talking about misconceptions recently at Commodity Classic.
So if the elevators are just trying to merchandise a profit without gauging price, and the people that talk to country elevator people, the brokers, are really smart people. They're some of the smartest people in our business. But not one of them gets into the world of, hey, it's going up, it's going down. Those morning conversations are just, you know, hey, freight's doing this, basis is doing that. Decatur traded a 20 over yesterday. It's those kind of things they talk about. But they never get into, hey, I was on the internet, and Joe says corn can't go down this year. No way, can't go down. Well, great, I'm not going to do anything then. So that's kind of how the world works on the elevator side. I don't see why you guys would do it different. So, it's not hard. I don't know who's in this room. You know, you probably got people that grow grain for a living. You got people that feed it for a living. If I go to a meeting with all growers, you guys want to hear me tell you about the 1.5 billion Ukraine's not going to grow, right? And then if you're feeding grain for a living, you want to hear me tell you that they're going to get that crop in, they're going to plant it, and they're going to export it. Because you hear what you need to hear, right? We all hear what we need to hear. So as a grower, you guys will just turn off the news that's not, doesn't work to your cause, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't. So it's, I really challenge you to, if you want information, we have four guys in our office that do research full time. I love reading all the stuff they do. It's really good stuff. I even read some other stuff. There's some really smart people on the internet. There's people on Twitter, if you're on Twitter. There's some, the Karen Braun's, the Arlen Sudermans. There's some really smart people out there. And they will educate you as to why price is where it is today. They will tell you everything you need to know. Brilliant stuff. But they're not going to tell you where the market's going to be tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or a week from tomorrow. So just start looking at the market from the standpoint, what is it that's going to make my family regretful we didn't sell grain today? And what is it will make my family regretful I did? So I don't know where this market's going, but for probably not every year I would say this, but it's literally a year where you can be wrong $2, $3, $4 either way. That doesn't happen very often. I know you guys are watching the markets. I mean, we had, 2 weeks ago, we had May beans in 24 hours trade up and down $1.87 range. $1.87. I mean, beans were $5 in 1986. You guys remember that? $1.87 from up to down, and you've seen the wheat market. I'm sure you're all watching the wheat market. That thing, if it's not up or down 30 cents when the market opens, it's like nothing's happening, right? But 30 cents is big, not to mention $1, $1.50 moves. So here's what I do know. I will tell you this, my only price prediction I will give you. I know that the market will eventually crash, and it'll crash so much faster than it went up.
That's Dave Fogle with Advanced Trading speaking recently at Commodity Classic. It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 1621 GL variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and muscle up when bacterial blight throws down. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
There are many good things about the U.S. economy. Gross domestic product, a measure of income, grew at an annualized rate of 7% in the fourth quarter of last year, very fast. We have an unemployment rate of 3.8%, not historically low, but outstanding. We have seen wages rise year over year by about 5.1%, and for non-supervisory production workers, the lower end of the income distribution, even faster, 6.7%. And at the moment, there are 1.7 job openings for every person looking for a job in America. So there's a lot of good news out there.
Dr. Douglas Holtz-Eakin, president of the American Action Forum.
But the Achilles heel of the U.S. economy is the inflation that has emerged over the past year. Year over year, it's 7.9%, which has outstripped all of those wage gains. And some of the numbers are even more daunting. If you look at the bundle of food, energy, and shelter that is over 50% of the typical American's budget, inflation is at an 8.4% annual rate. That's the real pain that people are feeling on the ground. Individual prices are rising even faster. Energy overall is up 25.6%. Gasoline is up 38% in the past year. And so the overall environment is not a particularly hospitable one for Americans right now. My second point is this inflation didn't just happen. It's the result of policy decisions that were made. There are really two components, as I laid out in my written testimony. In part, it's reminiscent of the 1970s, where COVID has produced supply shocks, much like the oil price shocks of that era, and those costs have to get passed on to consumers. We have seen supply chain difficulties all across the globe, and especially in the United States. Labor market policies had a big impact on that. And the second part is simply excessive demand stimulus in the United States, which is really personified by the American Rescue Plan. The ARP passed last March was passed at a time when the U.S. economy was growing at 6.5%, and it was a well-known fact that we were expanding at an extremely rapid rate. So in terms of sort of macroeconomic stimulus, it's exactly the wrong time, in contrast to the CARES Act, which intervened when we really needed help in the second quarter of 2020. The ARP came at a time when the U.S. economy was expanding at a very rapid rate. It was also inappropriately large. My old shop, the Congressional Budget Office, does a calculation of the gap between actual activity in the U.S. economy, GDP, and the potential activity in the U.S. economy, potential GDP. That gap was a third of the American Rescue Plan. So there's no reason to solve a $600 billion problem with a $2 trillion stimulus. So it was too big, it was at the wrong time, and it has generated substantial inflation, which persists to this day, and which will take a long time to wring out of the economy. I listened to Chair Powell talk yesterday, and he expects that it will take 3 years for the Federal Reserve to return to the 2% target that it has had. The third point is that these are not the only policies that have contributed to the problems. There are energy-specific policies where the administration has not been particularly supportive of domestic production and where its response to global oil price rises, both before and after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, are really quite small and ineffective. Dropping the moratorium on leases will do little. Tapping the SPR is more symbolic than real. And on the trade front, it's really hurt the rural economy. There have been some direct actions it has taken to put tariffs on fertilizers, for example, which have raised costs for America's farmers. There has been its conclusion that the Phase One agreement with China is not working. But in response to making that conclusion, it did not drop the tariffs imposed on China. And as a result, U.S. farmers continue to face the retaliation that came from the imposition of those tariffs. And so there's an opportunity, which the administration has not taken, to improve the trade policies and help the rural economy in the United States.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cotton seed from America. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cotton seed.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, National Sales Manager with Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, what's going on in sesame?
Sure, Stephen. We've been having a local producer meetings to educate producers about how resilient Smarter Sesame is. Equinom's genetics have proven to be drought hardy and beneficial for your farm. As planting season approaches, it's good to keep in mind that Smarter Sesame is very efficient and can be a low-cost crop in all operations.
Joe, if somebody wants more information.
Sure, they can reach out at 1-833-SESAME or equinom.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
I'm a third generation farmer at SRS Farms. We grow cotton, corn, grain sorghum, sesame, soybeans, and sugarcane.
South Texas producer Sam Sparks.
We're actually nearing the end of our sugarcane harvest. Should be done in, I don't know, maybe a week to 10 days from now. But we just got finished planting all of our row crops. Our cotton's in the ground and up in the 3 to 4 true leaf stage. Corn's up out of the ground and looking really pretty. We've got some beans out of the ground, and everything's off to a good start.
On growing sugarcane.
Sugar's a very important part of our operation. The mill was built and established around 1973, and we've been part of the co-op. We've been members of the co-op. We've been growers in the co-op since its inception, and so it's very important to us. It's a we usually rotate the sugarcane out with cotton. We'll follow our cane crop with cotton. We usually get 3 to 5 years of harvest from the original stubble that's planted, and it's just an exciting crop to grow. It's a different season other than the rest of our row crops, and so it works well for us.
And the challenges of farming on the southern border.
Our farm headquarters is in Mercedes, in between Santa Rosa and Weslaco, but we also have a pretty historic little piece of farmland down on the Rio Grande River. It's comprised of about 1,800 acres, all in one area. And there's actually two pieces on our farm where you can stand and look north into Mexico.
This is the actual border.
There's a pretty significant stretch of border wall in our area. Unfortunately for us, to the east of our farm, we have a couple of miles of wall, and we have maybe about a mile section of open, no border wall, before you see another 4 or 5 miles of contiguous wall to our west. So we're kind of in a what we call a little funnel. So any traffic per se that's coming across, whether it's illegal or just, you know, farm traffic, we don't have any wall.
And how the government has actually created a larger problem.
We really don't know. It's kind of an eye-opener to see the government at work. With the previous administration, the plan was to fill in that gap where our property is with no wall and finish out so we have a contiguous piece of wall in Cameron County. And they were working hard to get that done. And now with the new administration, they have ceased all border wall projects, which I guess is all fine, except for the fact that they had done significant improvements on our property in preparation for building the wall, and they've just walked away from it. No one at DOJ, Army Corps of Engineers, will even give us any answers as far as returning our property to its original state when they found it. It's really thrown us a curveball because where the border wall was going, we have about 4,800 feet of irrigation pipeline underground where the wall footing was going to be installed. And so it jeopardized our irrigation system. So all of the property that we irrigate to the north of that or where the wall was going to be essentially now has no irrigation until it's repaired and fixed. And that's the challenge that we face today is we need some answers from the government to get that line fixed so that we can continue our farming practices.
It's Agriculture Today.
When you work a livestock operation all day, you need a tractor that gets the job done. That's why Case IH Farm All Utility Series tractors offer more standard features than the competition. I guess you could say that Case IH Farm All Utility Series tractors hold standard features to a higher standard. Because when it comes to performance, versatility, and value, there's nothing standard about them.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
No matter how crazy the market is, the marketing doesn't get harder. I don't think marketing is hard at all in this environment, any different than it was 2 years ago.
So Dave Fogel is a trader with Advanced Trading. He was addressing a group of producers recently at Commodity Classic in New Orleans.
And marketing used to be hard when you guys had droughts, but now it's not true if you have crop insurance. We don't sell crop insurance, but I like crop insurance. I was here in 83 and 88, and it was just brutal, right? And then we had the big drought across the Corn Belt in 2012, I'm sorry. And most of you guys came out pretty good, right? Record income, maybe, in some cases. Pretty good insurance program. So you don't have risk of production. You really don't. You have risk of price. So if you guys don't sell something or don't find a way to stop downside, it will go down. This crop, next crop, I don't know. But don't, for you know, more than ever before that I could think of in this industry, don't think it can't just ruin you on the upside. I've met a lot of people this week, and we're getting calls from people, you know, that sold something a long time ago, and they want to know how to fix it. And you can't. I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could fix it. But if you sell something $3 ago in the bean market, I can't fix it. I can make it no worse anymore. I can make it never happen again. But I can't fix what you did. You sold it. So it's a market that is just, it's going to punish us different than it has in the past if you're wrong. And that's up and down. So stop listening to the gurus. The other thing you have to do, too, is you got to find a way to, it's got to be repeatable. However you guys want to market grain, and there's different ways to do it, you have got to find a way to repeat it. Okay? So a couple days ago, Drew and I were at breakfast, and I was waiting for him. And a couple of young guys were behind me in line waiting for a table with me. And they, this is funny, but one of the guys said he's really nailed this year so far. He goes, we just recently sold our bushels. Just nailed it. I go, that's great. I go, how'd you do that? He goes, well, my brother broke his leg and I couldn't sell anything until he could help me haul. So that's his marketing plan every year. He's going to break his brother's leg in April. So I hope he alternates legs at least so he can heal up somehow. So I asked him, I said, what are you going to do in the future? He goes, I don't know, but boy, it worked out great this year. And it did. It really did. But he'll never get to repeat that unless he's got a really clumsy brother. So I just, no matter how you guys do it, it can't be different. So I will tell you right now what you guys will do on your 22 crop. If you sold your bushels dollars ago, if you sold your corn bushels a buck or two lower than today's price, if you sold beans a buck or two or three lower, you're going to hang on to 22 long. You're not going to get rid of it right away in most cases. Okay? And I get it. But here's what can happen to you if you're not careful. You can end up selling the 22 and 23 or 21, 22, and 23 all at the same prices if you're not careful. So you're going to hang on for dear life because I got to get so much more out of 22 because I feel bad about 21, even though we're all making good money. I know that. I hope we are. But you're going to hang on longer because you didn't hang on the year before. And markets are funny. They have a way of kind of knowing your plan before you do. And they have a way of just doing the opposite. So if corn and beans break, we got a problem because we're not going to be sold enough.
Dave Fogel speaking recently at Commodity Classic. He's with Advanced Trading. It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 2398 GLTP variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and stand strong when that verticillium wilt comes creeping. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, Tony, the first and foremost issue that we look at is what's the budget going to look like for the farm bill as it's developed.
Andy Levine is CEO of the American Seed Trade Association, or ASTA.
We're obviously looking at a farm bill when commodity prices are in more favorable for the farmer, but also costs are a challenge, and input costs, whether we're talking about fuel or fertilizer or other products. So all of those factors come into play in this. But the most interesting one that will be a key part of this farm bill is going to be, where does sustainability and the environment and carbon capture play in this? It's been such a hot topic for Congress and for the economy for the last 4 or 5 years, and this is that opportunity to incorporate parts of sustainability practices into the farm bill and give incentives to farmers to employ more and more of these to benefit the soil, benefit our environment, water, all of those factors, and keep that soil and then where it needs to be in that field.
Of course, as the debt continues to grow, farm bills will be under greater scrutiny.
Historically, with farm bills, as we've seen them, you write them when you in a period where you have pretty good optimism, pretty good commodity prices, and so things look rosy. But then, by the time you get halfway into the farm bill, the markets have turned, and so you don't quite have that same support, or vice versa. You start out with a market where the prices are low, and you write the farm bill to address those issues, and then it turns around halfway through the farm bill. So you have to be careful on that. You have to provide that umbrella for the farmers in case there are those situations that cause financial distress. But you also have to look at it from that opportunity of markets changing and farmers being able to take advantage of what's out there. You know, we always look at it from the standpoint of how much of the farm bill is actually defeating programs and women and infant and children or WIC programs or food stamp programs. It's a significant part of that farm bill. But if we think about it, the agriculture part of the farm bill is what gets the food on our plates or gets the food into the grocery store. So you got to have a healthy part of both of those, and we do need to help aid those that are less fortunate to us. So it is a delicate balance, and they are going to be looking at how much money do we have and how much can we spend or need to spend, and that's going to be a balancing act going forward.
He also talks about an upcoming leadership conference.
As we come out of COVID and we look at the availability of talent, employees out in the marketplace today for our industry and others, it really is an opportunity for ASTA to take a leadership role in the issue of assisting the seed industry about where opportunities are for people to come into our industry, and then how do we help cultivate that leadership. And so our 2022 Leadership Summit is this June in Indianapolis, and it really will focus on career development, how do you manage, how do you grow your management skills, and how do you really become a leader in this industry. But also looking at what are those global aspects that impact us, what are the national impact issues that impact the seed industry, and what are your local ones, and try to broaden everyone's horizon to see those issues that are important to decision making long term. So we're excited about the program that we're pulling together. It really will be first of a kind for us, and it's a new trend that we're looking at is how do we make sure that we're preparing the leaders for the seed industry in the agriculture community in the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
My name is Manuel Macias. My dream was to become a farmer like my grandfather and my dad. It was hard back then. I wanted so bad to buy some land, but no bank will go with me until I went to Capital Farm Credit. And as soon as I walked in, I felt the friendliness in it. It's a partnership. It's good to do business with a company that looks out and gives you back whatever you put in. Capital Farm Credit, together we're better.